Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Straight to the Point and Completely Off Topic. I have my good friend Emily Elgato here. I always like to add a D in that. But Emily Elgato, the ink mistress, or as many of you might remember her when she was on Ink Masters as that fucking bitch. And I'm not wrong. You did take a DNA test, didn't you?
I did. I'm 100% that bitch, it turns out.
Nobody's surprised.
Wouldn't be, I know.
I of course, seeing you on the TV is completely different than knowing you in person.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what I'm hoping. Well, I hope that I can open the door for our fans, you know, the Ink Master fans, or they're ours. Why not? Right. But the Ink Master fans, so that they can see behind the scenes a bit and maybe understand a bit more about that big monster of a machine the Ink Masters is.
And
the way it started to change is I saw it from three when people kind of had a bit of integrity, and the producers were really not integrity is the wrong word, because it implies there wasn't integrity later. I think there was a better understanding of what this show was than to serve people. You know, I mean, I think the producers were better about it. And on your season, they really started to craft it and get some good characters like yourself.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, when I go back in history and I think about I was just had a friend on the GWC. Did I make you look at that stupid video of me in that Ric Flair costume?
No. Oh, I missed that opportunity.
I got to show you. It's so fucking awesome. It's 41 pounds of purple sequins and feathered boa. Nature Boy Ric Flair, who wore it at the WrestleMania. It's $90,000.
Oh, my God.
And this guy let me wear it because he's just that. He's just that insane. He's crazy.
I love this.
But when I go back at my wrestling history and I think about what did I like? What didn't I like? I used to, as a kid, I loved the good guys. I loved anybody that was a good guy, it seemed like, you know. I hated the guys that would defend him, like Robbie the Brain. But then when I grow up, I realize that I really cared more for the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they push their antagonists.
I always tell people there's no story without a bad guy.
What? Yes. Why is anybody watching without the Josh Hibbert and without the Emily Elgatos?
Yeah. Or the Jay Blondells. Or
the Jay Blondells.
Or you. You know? I mean, we're all me. Like,
yes. Oh, come on. I don't want to be a bad guy. I don't mind it a bit. Actually, there was one time when I think I come to it and I was just like, you know what, this is who they want, and they're not gonna...
I figured it out super early. It was like first day, we had already filmed down in Penn Station, and then they took us, you know, back to refigure us out, feed us, the whole nine yards. And we were all sitting there in a circle, and everybody's passing around, you know, their books and stuff, portfolios. And I'm listening to people, and some people have been there for, you know, tattooing for 14 years, 22 years. And I'd only been tattooing for 7 at that point. And I knew right then and there, I was not going to win that. I knew there was no fucking way. The caliber of artists that were there, leagues beyond me. And I'll totally admit that fully right now. But
from the Ink Mistress.
Well, I mean, I am a human, you know.
You're very human. I got to know you well outside of the show and was amazed because I really haven't watched much of your season. I apologize. I always say this and I feel it's true. I get a certain PTSD just from watching. And I end up yelling at the mirror like I was talking to three judges, you know, like I just go unfiltered all of a sudden. But I had a hard time watching it. And so when I get to know you, it's from the tattoo circuit. And I know this really sweet girl. But you recognized, I guess, that this was a character to drive you and to make you known, right?
Yeah, I had to do something to stay relevant and to stay on camera. And it officially dawned on me. They set us up to do, there's that scene in that first episode where all the girls are sitting at a table and mm-hmm. they're all kind of like patting each other on the back, like, oh, I really liked your flowers. And oh, the pink you used was really pretty and da 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 da. And like, the producer pulled me aside and she was like, hey, we want you in on this conversation. And I was like, okay, cool. She's like, but you know, we want you to, you know, like tell them what you think of their tattoos. And I was like, and I'm supposed to tell them that their tattoos suck. And she's like, yeah. Run with that. Dude, the gleam in her eyes. She like struck gold right then and there. She literally took off in that instance. And I sat down and I, you know, bullshitted with them and I made fun of their tattoos, which, you know, I mean, that's what they wanted me to do. So I did it. Right. And the girls thought that I had like a split personality disorder because obviously right. I didn't tell them that I was going to do this. I just sat down and did it. And so we all got right. off the scene.
Well, you don't have time to either. It's not like, no. Hey, guys, I'm coming into the scene. I'm going to be Simon Cowell.
Right. You just like get shoved into it. And we still don't really know each other, but the night previously was like our first official night in the house together. So everybody drank. We all, you know, talked
right.
about
so you were getting along with people a minute ago.
Yeah. So they really thought that I was fucking crazy.
There was a piece of that we got from Josh.
Yeah.
But he really doesn't get certain social cues. I truly believe he is autistic the way And I don't mean he's high level or whatnot, or not high level. I don't mean he's like on the far end of the spectrum or nothing. I think he's pretty good at functioning.
And if somebody wants to pay for Josh's health care to prove him wrong, feel free. But at this point in time, I have no problem with that man fully accepting
that he is
autistic and moving on with his life.
And hopefully bringing a little bit of awareness too. You knew this character that you were bringing out, and were you able to convince the girls that you weren't a psychopathic split personality?
Yeah. I mean, after like they were able to like calm down and like talk to the guys and be like, "What the fuck?" and you know, got back together. You know, because at night you're done filming. It's like a day job. You do it for 9 to 10 hours. You're done for the night. You retire. You sit around. Bullshit with each other, have some drinks, whatever. So it, you know, by that time in the evening everything was understood and I explained the whole gimmick. But yeah,
was it really 9 to 10 hours or was it longer?
Oh my god, it was so much longer.
Okay. I was like, wait a second, I remember like 14 and 16 hour days and them like really trying to weigh out. They were getting mad at one point because they don't do union, but they had to give people overtime and they were like, we're not paying overtime. You know, they're like a terrible construction boss, like send the guys home.
I felt bad for a lot of those guys because they would just hammer them so that they wouldn't have to go into overtime. But long days, really long days. And you know, us being us, like you finish work, well, you want a drink, you know, especially with your friends that you live in a house with. And
and usually they want to help that. The producers are happy to help with you drinking, am I wrong?
Oh my god, I've never drank so much alcohol in my life. And that's saying a lot coming from me because I do imbibe and you know.
I've seen you you know, I've never seen you trash. We've had some great times.
You liar. You definitely have. I appreciate you trying to say
you kept it together very well then. How about that? You must have been trashed, and it was like, you know what I mean? Secret trashed.
Right.
Like the kind of guy lean in and be like, I'm fucked up. I know that you've had some rough mornings to where I like, oh, last night was rough on you. I see that you're dragging your ass in here. Because we do conventions together. I guess I should say that, but I think most people probably listen know that that's kind of our thing is doing these conventions.
I think a lot of people get a little confused though and think like we all just like hang out together and like know each other. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
Like across the city, I'm just going to go over and see this person. But it's like, no, dude, like we go to work outside of work to work with these people that we used to work with. And that's a convention.
And it's pretty fucking awesome. I think one of the best things about Ink Masters, tell me if I'm right or wrong or if you agree, but is the casting.
Oh, yeah.
They did a great job casting.
Yeah, it's pretty wild the variety of people that they can pull onto you know, one season. It's it's fun. You get
all. And are they generally all, in my experience, all of them are interesting. I'm kind of blessed. This podcast thing, kind of, I can just exploit my friends who are already vetted by a national process, you know, of looking for the most interesting tattoo artists that there are.
That's too funny. It's true. Totally true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I got you on, girl.
Hey.
So what did we do? You got some hate from your exposure, though. From exactly what you wanted. People didn't see through it. Huh? They were kind of, they thought that was you.
People still do. I just got some shitty messages like yesterday. Uh-huh. I've started posting them online because my fans really come out of the woodwork and support, and new people that haven't been following me tend to start following me, which is really cool. So that's kind of rewarding. But for a really long time, especially when the show was airing here in the United States, it was bad. Like, I had some of the most atrocious things said to me over the internet, of course, because that's where it's safe to say dangerous things to people.
Right,
but yeah, really, really bad at one point, and way more dick pics than anybody ever needs to have ever.
Really? I've gotten none. Well, I don't know. Candy pretty much handles all everything. So like, I think Candy told me there was a couple of girls that were sending some kind of, you know, racy photos or whatnot.
Woo-hoo!
I think I even made a message at one point. I'm like, if you were trying to get an appointment with me by the, because people will do that to get an appointment. So they'll be like, look at, I'm hot.
Right.
But I'm like, my wife sets up those appointments. She's running through all my email. I'm too lazy myself. I'd like to have a better excuse, but I'm too lazy. You're probably better off. And I'm going to bite my ass for saying this. You're probably better off sending her dick pics, though, really. You know, you're going to get further with it. Now I'm going to be like, am I looking at, why the fuck so many dick pics? God damn it, Candy. What the fuck you doing? Now I'm going to get all suspect. And it's all my fault. Look at, I'm feeding that beast. But it, to me, there's an irony there. I didn't get so many, though. Not enough that you would, you know, you got, well, it's guys, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they're stupid.
Well, come on. I'm a guy. I'm super smart. That's why. I'm sorry. I can't keep a straight face saying that.
Wait, it's not all men, right?
Right. Well, you're a bit of a feminist.
Oh, just, I mean, wrong? Just a little.
Is it mostly because you're feminine?
No,
would
probably.
You be as much of a feminist if you were a man?
Probably not. I guess that's granted. I would hope I would be. I would hope I would be.
Well, your husband, and I'm guessing he's a bit of a feminist.
Oh, he totally, yeah, he vibes with women. Well, he was raised with women by women, his sister, you know, me. So
raised by, let's talk about what you're going to make it sound like you guys are brother and sister. Careful. You know, they're looking for stage. Let's talk about your husband, of whom I love, Danny Borneo. Yeah.
He sends his love too. Wild man, Danny Borneo, king of sideshow over there.
Yes. I've seen him staple. Well, not just dollar bills. I don't know if he put $100 bill. I know he usually tries to get it, but his nutsack to his legs.
Yeah,
staple dollar bills to him. Yeah. Danny performed in the sideshow act. Mm-hmm. What was the name? Old City. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Really? I can't even describe it. What Danny does.
It's funny that I get to tell people that, you know, I'm married to a sideshow performer that, you know, because that's entertaining all on its own, because I'm the tattoo artist, he's a sideshow performer, circus, ha ha ha. But my previous life before Danny, I was married to a rocket scientist. So that was funny too. So it's somehow I keep like amping up the hilarity of my partner's right job, career.
A rocket scientist. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were married before.
Oh my God, Danny's my third husband. You kidding?
Oh my God, woman. You feminist. When you say third, do you mean final?
course.
You're going to be wearing fucking, they should have put you in the overalls instead of Chris Plinston. You're going to be, you're going to be like Carol Baskins at one point in your life.
Yeah,
just running through men. I guess you didn't go through so many. Well, that, I mean, this is your last. I'm going to say it. I'm putting the stomp on it. No more.
I'm good with that.
I like this one the most. The other ones, you know what? They were so dry to me. It's like I don't even know them.
Right.
Explain to me what your impressions were of the contestants that you had. You know, I mean, you get there your first day, you're hanging out. You said you're having fun. Yeah. And you also recognize that you were not at the level that some of them were. Who was the person that you thought was the best?
When I first got there, I just assumed because they had come back from the previous season that Josh and Jason were the top notch of our group. Just from that first day right off the rip. After that, it leaned a lot more towards some of the other people. Taisha Reels is a fucking incredible.
She's pretty fucking up. Yes.
Dude, she is solid as hell. And it blows my mind every time I see her stuff online. Eric was really good. I'm trying to run through my mind right now. Obviously, Mark Longnecker's stuff is really cool. It's very different. And it's, you know, very much his style, but it's fucking cool, man. Like
when you get to Cocoa Beach, I feel like it all makes, I'm in Michigan. You know, I look at his stuff. I'm like, huh, it's different. It's kind of wacky is the way I would describe it. Before I go to Cocoa, when I get to you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. It all just starts to kind of make sense. Surfing skulls. I get it.
Yeah, it's a Florida thing. Yeah, his troppy style is what he called it.
Troppy style. Some of the best times of my life were in Cocoa. Like, if the best shop I've ever worked at.
Yeah.
We woke up, or we would tattoo all day. But no, we wake up. We wake up at like, I don't know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. We're out surfing by like 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? We're surfing right until it's time to open up the shop. You know, you go and you clean up, and then you open up the shop, you do a couple of tattoos, you know, and then you go and drink and eat dinner. And then somehow you wake up like with only 3 to 4 hours of sleep. You're not hungover, and he's making you do yoga on the beach, and you're going out in the fucking day. But you were there with Mark. Were you guys doing yoga with him?
Mark did a lot of yoga. I was drunk a lot, so waking up early in the morning doing yoga was not top of my things to do list. But no, I remember Mark doing a lot of yoga, and obviously still does. He slays with that shit.
He wanted me to ask Josh if he was still doing yoga, and I never got around to it because I'm a terrible host.
I think you're doing great.
Okay, right on. Good. Then take that, Mark. But you get there and you figure, now you start to see people that you think are better than you are. Does that make you amp your character up, you figure? What happens next?
I mean, like, you definitely get kind of a high off of, like, the producers being excited about what you're doing.
And what you say, yeah.
Yeah. And they're putting you in more scenes, and there's more camera time. Like, they amped us up. You
definitely really notice it.
Yeah, yeah, because they amped us up.
Good really puppy.
When we were at two weeks in or so, we did media day, and they pulled us aside, and they were like, "Look, we showed like the first 2 weeks worth of footage to our sponsors, and they kicked down like another $2 million for production and shit." And it was pretty big deal, evidently, because they were all fucking excited. I mean, $2 million like a lot to us, so we don't fucking know.
They're fuck it is. But that means that, did you see new people get hired after that too?
Oh god, yeah. Oh, it was wild. Oh, like everything just like tripled in size, and like extremism, it seemed like. And like, and I'm sure a lot of it was already pre-planned and didn't change that much, but you could tell there was so much more hands-on. They were never like searching for a producer to take you somewhere, or you know, just waiting on people to drive. Like it was, things were happening a lot faster.
Well, I think in our time, each producer had like 3 to 4 people at least. And as they would leave, they would sometimes pick up other people. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they would also, of course, eventually just be like you and one producer almost. Or
right.
One producer and two people, because as people are leaving, they kept those producers on generally. Was it the same ratio of producers to actors? Or was it like you had your producer?
Oh, no. They had us in multiples for sure. Like the lead producers were pretty much the same through it from what I remember. Because I was there for 2/3 of filming. So from what I remember, it was all the same people, but I don't really know for sure. So, but I remember like a lot of like peons, you know what I mean? Like the smaller guys running around with like sodas and bags of chips and, you
know, whatever. They got a lot more assistants for them.
All of a sudden there was like 10 times more of these little people running around. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Okay. Take my shoes. Where the fuck are you taking them? Who are you? Yeah, it was weird.
How was it like getting used to living in the house and things like that? Because I know it's awkward, right? They come up and they're like, oh no, that shirt, we need it. We need your shirt. And then they store it and you're like, well, are you gonna wash it?
what are you gonna do with that? You got some Febreze, bro?
Like, I was rough to that shirt today, man. It was 16 hours. We did a challenge. You had me sweating ass up in there when they're fucking judging me. That all happened today. You know that, right? Yes, just we can't tell you why. For us, it was Hugh Jackman was coming back, which I missed.
I thought that was cool.
Who'd you guys get to meet?
That Joe, God, I don't even remember how to say his name. Montanoia. I don't know what his fucking name is, but the guy that was on True Blood, he was the werewolf.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
The big, tall, sexy one or the littler guy? Okay.
Yeah, they even have like this whole clip.
I say, cool, like, good. You got to meet the sexy one at least.
They have a clip of me being like, oh, he's such a sexy beast. Like, bitch, they like begged me to fucking say that. It was so stupid.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they were like, come on, isn't he hot? Don't you think he's sexy? I was like, oh, yeah, he's a sexy beast. And they just like, it was dumb. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. But they're crafted. They're making a show. Somehow you were kind of their fodder, you know, but
yeah.
I think I kind of came to a realization too, that I wasn't going to win for sure, you know? And
yeah.
I think everybody probably has to have that idea in their head, especially if you come there and you see like a Jimmy Litwalk, you know, Kelly Dottie. She wasn't on your season though, was she?
No, God, I love her work though. She's so talented. I
would shit my pants. She was there. All right. Gonna have Same. To and you want to still be remembered. There is no and at one point these producers are coming up and reminding you all the time, hey, you got to be remembered,
right?
How was it? I know you got hate for it. Was it hard to turn that into understanding?
It was kind of interesting because when it was airing in the US, like the hate was like super strong, right? Like death threats and crazy shit. And then like once the finale ended our season and people kind of petered off, it kind of like let up a little bit, which was really great. But then like you could tell when it was hitting a new country because like all of them start getting like all of these shitty remarks in Italian. And then like a week later, it's like, you know, Swedish or something. Like it was weird, but I'll tell you where I'm a fucking hero and they love me is the Netherlands.
Are you serious?
Yes, dude. They fucking loved me. It was awesome. I love the Netherlands. I can't wait to
have you been? Okay.
I have, right on. Danny and I actually got engaged out in Das Hof.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a concert venue or something.
It should. It's a whole city.
Or a band.
But it's beautiful.
Well, that's I don't know, almost surprising. Yeah, I don't know why.
So basically their TV over there, Spike TV at that point, only showed UFC and Ink Master. It showed absolutely nothing else. So they would
But they liked your character too, you're saying, right?
Oh, they loved my character. But they literally like lived off of our TV shows.
Did you get any people that were like, I mean, because your character also, some guys are into that a lot. Did you get that too? Like, dominate me.
Yeah. I mean, like, not as many as I would like. I could say that. But
not as many as you would like. You're like, new job. I'm going to crush some testicles. That's what I do. The feminazi that loves crushing testicles.
It's really, you know, it's probably the route I should have taken post show is just like set up that whole dom thing.
But double down on it. Yeah.
Should've.
You didn't get interest from that, or you did? Not nearly enough.
I probably did. It's like the sex shit doesn't stand out in your mind as much as like death threats do. So
Yeah. I don't think I got any of those.
Oh,
Candy would, maybe she wouldn't tell me either.
People really just did not like me. Like, why was I so mean? Why are you such a bitch? Like, because I'm on a TV show.
Are you not entertained?
Thank you.
Do you have I know I just saw your new banner that you're putting up, which is pretty hilarious, where Aaron's floating away in the dust and you just beat that competition.
I love it.
No, I saw your new banner.
Which
is awesome. It's actually got me brain farting on it. It is literally Aaron is generally standing there next to you at your promo spot. But to remind people, one, of you, of course, and then to help them forget, I guess, about Aaron, he's blown away in the dust. There's just his red legs left.
Thanos disaster.
People. I mean, do you want, I feel like, I don't know that I did any of it for entertainment. I think I felt like I did a lot of it just because, you know what? Yeah, no, I did. I remember thinking, hey, they really want this from me. And if they're telling a storyline, I'm seeing it. I see what they're doing. You know, I can't get any love from the judges, any, even when it's deserved. I get that. Well, how does the people that are, you know, chilling at home watching me, and they're my fans, like they're saying, you know, hey Kyle, you're gonna, you know, the story is what people are buying, how are they gonna like it, how do they want this story to end? And I was like, man, I don't see why they don't want me to beat this little fucker sass. I think pretty sure that's what they're gonna want. I mean, if I were watching this is what I would want,
exactly what I would want
to and you put yourself there, did it as well.
Probably should have done that more, and I probably would have stormed off of scenes less. I stormed right off a lot of scenes. It was embarrassing. I just like ran out of shit to yell at people.
Was it more that than anything else?
Oh, totally, dude. I just ran out of shit to say, and I didn't know how to end it. So I just
Back to the Jägermeister. Who was your guys' sponsor? Ours was Jägermeister on season 3. But we didn't have one in 4. Did you have an alcohol sponsor?
I don't know if we did, but I know we drank a lot of Jack.
Right on.
A lot of Jack, a lot of Jameson. But I don't know if they were actual sponsors. Probably not. I think Taco Bell was Taco Bell was a sponsor.
You're a Taco Bell. How much did Dave love doing the car? I remember it was like the one time I've seen him flustered. He was an actor of the highest sense at any point when he was in front of that camera, except when he started cutting commercials for shit he didn't eat. You know, he's like, I wouldn't be caught dead eating one of these fucking burritos, man. Can you imagine? He gets mad when the waiter has his thumb on the plate, which actually I look for now. And I'm like, I get it. That completely is kind of disgusting, man. You know, I'm going to eat off of that, right? Like, how many plates you serving? What'd you just do with your thumb? I don't know. He gets mad about that. I've overheard him in conversation saying, so can you imagine how he's going to go ahead and take a 7-layer burrito?
They really tried to keep us as secluded from those guys as possible. Just so, I guess, you know, because of favorites and favoritism and all that kind of bullshit. But basically the entire time Dave was texting Aaron. So like
I've heard this. Aaron talks about it. He was like asking him what he was going to wear and shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it got kind of, you know, it got very Dave at one point, and I guess
very sexual. Did he ask for dick pics?
I don't know. I do not know that. All I'm going to say is it got very Dave, and you know, it was funny. He never like really revealed anything. He mostly just made fun of shit and other people's tattoos from the day. Like, I remember somebody, Chris did a Jesus. Yeah, it was the Jesus portraits, and Chris's looked like the Burger King mascot, and it was okay. Dopey as fuck. It was either him or Mark, but I'm pretty sure it was Chris. And he just like kept sending Aaron like the Burger King guy like all night, just like random pictures and gifts and shit.
Real professional, Dave.
Well,
what about the fiasco with Josh? He smoked weed, but he also had a phone that many people thought. And he was communicating with the judges during events and stuff. Many people thought that was the cheating. How'd you feel?
So I didn't find out about the phone until, well, like I knew that he had a phone with him while we were filming that he wasn't supposed to have. Like I found out like probably one of the last two or three episodes I was on. But I never put two and two together that he was actually using it like for reference and shit, because I don't know if I'm just like naive as fuck or what my problem is, but I never put that together. So later on, like literally years later, when I heard that he had been cheating using a phone, I distinctly remember like the episode I got kicked off on when we were sitting out on that pig farm and he was sitting with his legs crossed and like, you know, thing on his lap, like, you know, had a paper or whatever. And it was really big and it like covered his entire lap. And he's a tall guy. So it's like, you know, a really big lap. So, and I remember looking at him and he's like, not looking at the paper. He's like looking at his dick. How high is he right now? And it didn't, you know, ever dawn on me until, you know, later on. I think Taisha told me. I can't remember.
Yeah. I feel like I saw that in the I don't know where I seen that, but I feel like I saw him sitting down. I mean, obviously I must have watched some of this. I know I watched one episode with Mark. Was that with who was the guest judge on that? Do you recall?
On what one? Which episode?
The one where he was sitting down for the flash challenge out in the against a wall.
It was
right?
Tommy Montoya.
Okay. Oh yes. Yeah, dude, that guy's entertaining. I like him.
That dude's fuck that dude. He's a pain in my ass.
No, most people I don't know a single Ink Master that felt the same way, or you know, contestant that felt the same way that I did, but I thought he was cool. And he came in and he like actually gave me a lot of hope. Because, you know, they came in riding on my ass and I still look back at the tattoo and I'm like, it ain't bad. Like, if you like horror and I do, then that eyeball with a scalpel in it, it could be worse. I don't know.
Sure.
But he was helping me go through it. Cause we were at a really shitty point, you know, where you start second guessing all your choices in your tattoo. And it's just like bloodlines and stuff and you're like, I think it's gonna turn out, and all the judges come in like at that point where it's just a mess and nothing. You know, and I think I had like 2 hours to start pulling it into something, and he was like, no man, you're all right. A lot of these other tattoos, I mean, I probably shouldn't tell you, but a lot of these other tattoos aren't going even this good. You still can make this into something, you know, man. You got the ability. I mean, you're here because you're a reason, right? So you know that. We spent a lot of time actually. Matty Hickson just kept making fun of it. Like, he did a pretty decent impersonation, and that's, I'm more doing an impersonation of Matty doing an impersonation of Tony. Because he started, it was just a time we needed some comic relief, and Matty's a comedian, you know, he really is. So he get commenting on farts, it seems like. He started judging farts. It wasn't funny. Like, in my head now, I'm like, that's like what are you, 13? But it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. We were waiting for sushi all goddamn day. I don't know how we even makes sushi at 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get that shit till way late. We felt like they were fucking with us because we're all hungry. We're like, no, man. They said they were going to get us sushi. We're going to stay up for goddamn sushi, you know? And then he starts cutting up jokes because somebody farted, you know, because I probably General Jay. And then he starts being, I don't even think that fart was that good, man. Like, really, if you were trying to be passionate about your fart, you wouldn't have done it so easy like that. You would have set it up with more, you know, passion. And it went on for like an hour, cracking us up. But it's sometimes like that. I know you got to feel this too. Sometimes the house all feels a way.
Yeah.
Like and the competition makes it worse. So people watch our show and they imagine that I really hate people. They imagine that you really think poorly about everybody's tattoos.
Right.
And they're maybe missing some of it. Like the competition itself can do a lot of that, really. Like, I didn't care for Mystical while I had to work with him. He was a right. pain in my ass.
Yeah.
I love the guy. He is an entertainment value to me. His uniqueness, I love it. Sometimes I got to tell him, stop being so fucking weird, you know? But when I do, he does. So how mad can I be? But like, come on, man. And really, to be honest, do I really want him to stop being that weird? No. Really.
The guy's a sweetheart.
He is. He used to like get on. He would perch on things. Like you're all just chilling, you know, and he would perch like a fucking gargoyle on some post or something, and wearing a trench coat and these big 3 foot fucking platforms. And we were like, "Are you kidding me?" Actually, one of the producers like made him get down. And really, why? Like it was just bothering her the most though. She's like, "Why? Get down!" And he's like, "What? Why?" Like, it was a hot day. He was out in the sun and all that black. And you're like, "You know, if he wants to do that,
right? Leave the man to him. What's he hurt?"
Yeah, if he's turning into a gargoyle for us, it's probably good omens. But working with him sets up a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a funny story really quick. So when we first got there, like, you know, Clean Rock, he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do nothing, right? So
straight edge, baby.
Yeah. And so we'd all be out on the back porch or the, you know, the patio deal down there, drinking till whatever in the morning. And he'd be painting until whatever in the morning, out like up in the house at the table and whatnot. And so I really didn't know him very well. Like for the first week, even two, he was really quiet. He talked to some people, but you know, not everybody. And one morning, you know, it's wheels up in like 15 minutes, everybody's just kind of meandering around and he's sitting on the couch by himself. And I'm kind of like just standing there minding my own business, whatever. And I hear him and he's like looking at his phone and he's like, "Oh, baby. Oh, look at you. Oh, yeah." And I'm like, "God, he's a fucking pervert. What is this shit?" And dude, so my like gotta fucking know everything ass, like real sneaky slides up behind.
Little nose trouble. Okay. What'd you see?
It was the fattest little pit bull puppy you ever saw in your life. That's what he was looking at. I was like, okay, we can be friends. So love that.
Clean is pretty very honest.
Yes, brutally so sometimes.
Asshole-ish honest.
Yeah.
is that brutally? Yeah, he's an asshole about it. Very honest. Like, yeah. I don't think he's going to tell you if he likes your tattoo if he doesn't like your tattoo, you know?
Oh, totally.
I don't know how he would deal with seeing an ugly baby, kind of, you know? I don't think he's going to tell you it's ugly, but he definitely ain't going to try and be like, "Oh, I love them shoes." Like, people try, "Oh, look at the bow. That's such a cute bow." You got them all dressed up cute today, don't you? Because he's not. He's an ugly little fucker. He looks like all the worst parts of the two of you squished together and then turned into baby form.
But then anyway, he'd hug you and tell you he loved you.
Well, I don't think he would say. I mean, I think he would probably actually just shut up. I don't think he's bad about it. You know what I mean?
No.
But he definitely ain't going to sit there and play some kind of kiss your ass game just so that you can feel happy.
So true. So true.
Good business owner. Have you ever worked for him?
No, I haven't. I've not had that privilege, but just watching his empire expand over the years, past what, 7 years now that I've known him, it's impressive, man. The guy really knows what he's doing.
He's got a whole compound now out there in like Illinois, right? Like I'm waiting for it to come up and him just be like, I'm starting militia, fuck it.
I join clean militia.
Would you join clean militia? You don't strike me as the militia type.
I'm definitely not. Uh-huh. However, it's clean. So.
Right. Do you already know how to shoot guns?
Do I?
Yeah.
I've shot one bullet in my entire life.
Right on.
Scared the shit out of me.
Time to learn. Let's go to Illinois. At any rate, what's been new? What's good?
I have been working at the same shop now for 7 years. So that's not
super good. Big. Stuck in a rut. Gotta love that.
You know, I work for my best friend. So it's like the easiest job that easiest place to do my job that I've ever had. So why fuck with a bad thing or, you know, a good thing? But yeah. I'm booked out a couple of months, which is exciting.
Have you seen your tattoos improve after Ink Master?
Yes.
Do you think there was the Ink Master was any impetus there? How did it help?
I've met so many tattoo artists since Ink Master because, like, obviously we do the conventions and, like, mm-hmm. we, you know, travel the world doing these conventions and, like, I've had to have met millions of people at this point. You know what I mean? Like, so many different influences and I think honestly, being in my shop where I'm at has definitely helped me too, a solid 7 years, just because I don't have to worry about, you know, is my shitty boss going to pay me? I don't have to worry about, are the lights going to be on? You know, right. Like, because shops really struggle with that. And I've definitely worked in that shop before.
One benefit you get from that too, it's got to be huge, really, is when you're in the same place for 7 years, you see what that tattoo looks like 7 years later.
Definitely. I have clients that I've been tattooing for almost a decade now, like consistently, and their families and their kids.
And in Florida.
Yeah.
How's that treat your colors? What do you do?
I just, you know, me personally, I don't do anything because I'm a terrible human. But as long as you're putting some kind of SPF on there, you know, that's all you can do. The sun's there. It's not going to change. Right.
Well, do you change your tattoos? Like I, as a result, unless I'm in Norway or something, I'm just like, hey, if you like the sun at all, let's do a black and gray tattoo.
Dude, I always try to convince people to do black and gray. I fucking hate getting color.
Is that because you're lazy? Is it? Why do you hate color?
Probably kind of because it's not like I'm bad or struggle with it, but it's just so fucking messy and it takes so much longer to do anything.
I feel that. I definitely feel that. I like black and gray for the purpose too, of course, that orange, red. Yeah. Like if that's in Florida, white, don't even worry about it. You know, those things are gone after a couple of years. I did a portrait of Bob Probert on my best friend actually, Brandon Mulholland, shout out to you, brother. And we put a Bob Probert on him and he rides motorcycle like 365 days out of the year. Yeah. It's right there on his forearm.
Yeah. So
every time I see it, I'm like, a little less colors in there, you know. We've touched it up already three times.
Funny.
But that's what you learn from being in the same place for so long, right?
It's, you know, it's interesting because even for people that aren't local, they just, you know, they keep coming back because grandma and grandpa have a house down here or because they got a really good tattoo 7 years ago. And so every spring break, they use the tax money to come down and get another tattoo. It's wild, man. I love it. Love working at my shop. I work at Foolish Pride too.
Yeah, we should probably give it. Yeah. Hey, and how do we watch you on Instagrams there? How do we follow you there? What's your...
It's super easy. It's just at Emily Elegato. You just have to remember how to spell my name.
And don't put an extra D in there.
Don't put an extra D in there. Don't belong.
She's too much of a feminist to have a D. I don't know. Maybe no. As a feminist, don't you kind of mandatory need one?
I mean, I got one already. I'm good with one.
Right on. Just to open the doors for you, right?
Right. Kick them open.
So you've worked at Foolish Pride. Mm-hmm. You've worked there for 7 years, even before Ink Master. Was it only that long ago you've been on? I guess, your season was after mine.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a different amount of time, isn't it?
It is. That is how time works. Yes,
indeed. I feel so freaking old about this.
I know.
I'm going to be like Al Flick. I'm going to be Grandpa OG soon.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with being fucking OG Ink Master. It cracks me up, dude, how like different it is from like the kids that were just on it, like the like season 12. 12?
Did you watch?
Fuck no. Hell no, I haven't watched any.
I've seen they're really getting some talented people on now. Possibly.
Yeah. Like I still follow Master, so I still see like the updates and see all the new kids and their work. And there are some stupid talented kids, like Kelly Dottie. I mean, my God, she's an amazing talent.
Yeah. God. I honestly, I feel like I would be so scared. I went on season 3 and I mean, I really was like, I was looking and I'm like, I'm as good as these guys. I really feel like that, like in especially when we're applying it across many different genres, you know, I'm as good as these guys. I feel like I'm in good competition. I came back on season 4. And partially my fault, I invited Halo. I told him to come on. But then I was like, man, these guys are better than me. You know, like I'm really having to up my game to compete. Yeah. Meanwhile, these judges are fucking shitting on me. Ink Mistress.
Yeah.
You still?
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, forever, right?
Yes, I imagine.
It's better than the Wicked Witch of Ink Master is what they called me all fucking season.
Who did?
Everybody on the show.
Just the contestants.
Yeah, the contestants. I'm sure a couple of
producers too, probably behind your back.
It probably started with the producers.
Oh yeah. So you feel like that's their job. It's like they're the kid in high school that was going around starting fights.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what he said? No, it was about your mother. No, it was about your girlfriend. He said that he had a chance, you know, and then just going to the other person. I don't know, man. He said he'd be at 7 o'clock.
So
these
true.
Producers, God bless
them. I remember one of the arguments we had on camera, and it was pretty heated. I won't point out which one because I like to leave a little mystery to the whole entertainment value of it.
Are you not entertained? Yes.
But I went off camera and they were still filming other people, and one of the producers came up to me and just so quietly whispered in my ear, "You're a fucking psychopath," and I just smiled because what the fuck did he even say to that?
I don't know. Is that a compliment? She meant it as one, didn't she? It is a funny realization, I think. You know, like, I don't know, Wizard of Oz, like a man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
You went back on for a redemption. Am I wrong?
Two of them, yeah.
Does it feel more like the man behind the curtain there? Does it feel less like it? How'd you fare?
The first time I went back on was when I went on with Angel. And I don't think that we knew that we were both going to be there. I think they sprung that on us. And I think that instant jolt just kind of like sent me right back into that headspace of being on our season and being like plus all the time when it came to the actual artwork and just wanting to run my mouth for no other reason but to be heard on camera. I like immediately processed back into it. But when I came back there for the second time, I don't know. It was just a lot different. And then when it aired,
were you more prepared? Like, cause you
mentally maybe.
I know what you mean. When I got there, I started feeling anxiety from prior show, you know, just the same set, familiar faces. You're trying to get at ease because you're like, well, this is the second home to me. I should be comfortable, right? And you're not. You just keep getting worse almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it was weird because, and like when we filmed the first one, like, you know, obviously it was me and Angel. So there's tons of me and Angel like filming together. And
yeah,
I just assumed that they were going to cut my episode with some other people in Redemption, like that just weren't around me. And they gave me the whole fucking episode to myself, dude. That was such a feather in my cap. And honest to Christ, since that episode aired, like my career went so much more smoothly. Before that, I was really struggling as an artist to maintain clients because people just saw this crazy bitch on TV and they didn't think they could relate to me or get tattooed by me or stan me. You know what I mean? So after Redemption, the second one, it really just rocketed my career into the trajectory that I wanted all along. So to, you know, show that I can tattoo and
the whole reason you went on there.
Right.
That's awesome. I did not get the same experience, but I don't know how people felt my Redemption. I just went right back into, like, I think they want me to fight. I knew they did because of who they brought out. I'm like, why can't you guys be cool? Right. I even told them the behind story about the guy, you know, and they're like why I don't want to, you know, tattoo him and why if I do tattoo him, I will feel like a bitch. And there is no redemption as a bitch.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Yeah.
Anyways. We think about moving. What, you're not originally from Florida. You moved down there, right?
Yeah, I actually grew up in Wisconsin.
And didn't Aaron actually invite you down of some sort?
No, I met Aaron through my mentor. He had met him at a convention. They became friends. We were doing the Chillicothe Easy Rider Rodeo. And, and so he invited Aaron and this other dipshit, I can't remember his name right now, to go with us to this convention. And it's a whole camp outside type bullshit, whatever, if you know anything about
it. Dr. Bless Me used to do be there. Am I wrong?
I don't know about that. They basically had all the tattoo artists like in like one of the barns because it's just at a fairgrounds.
Okay.
Middle of nowhere in Chillicothe. But so I don't remember him being, he could have been, fuck, I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure he was the voice of that for several years because they're not doing it anymore, are they?
I couldn't tell you. It's been, oh my God. Well, that was when I first met Aaron. So what was that? Probably 15, 16 years ago.
Right on. So. But Aaron didn't invite you down. This other guy, well, how did it go?
I ended up in Florida when I got married to my first husband. He was
the rocket scientist.
No, that's the second one. The first one. The first one was in the Air Force and he got stationed down in Florida. And we didn't last very long. And then I ended up with husband number two and ended up
from Florida.
Out. Yeah. He was from Florida. Yeah.
And you had stayed then.
Yeah. Yeah. I
fell in love with the weather.
Yeah. I've been living down here for 18 years now.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
It's nice. It gets hot. It gets hot down there.
I don't mind it, man. It's healthy to sweat.
Okay. So I thought, I was pretty sure that Aaron was under the impression too. So I look forward to asking him.
Yeah, no. So Aaron,
fight her down.
Aaron, and I lost track of each other. Cause like I moved to South Carolina for 2 years after I split up with dipshit number two. And I was working there minding my own fucking business. And then like all of a sudden I got this text message. And it was like, hey, my name's so-and-so, and I'm a producer on Ink Master, and we saw your work, and we really want to have you on the show. Give me a call. Here's my number. And I was like, well, that's fucking stupid, because it is April 2nd, and you are a day late and a dollar short on this April Fool's joke, so fuck off. So I just kind of
you thought it was a joke.
I did. I really did. And then, like, I started thinking about it, like, the next day, and I was like, well, what if? So I looked her up on LinkedIn. Yeah,
they probably didn't send it on April 1st for that purpose.
Probably. And, like,
so that you wouldn't have that opinion.
Yeah, good of them to have the wherewithal to think ahead. But, yeah, I looked her up on LinkedIn, and sure as shit, it was, you know, season 1, 2, 3, 4. So I called her up, and she was like, I was like, how did you even find me? What is this? I was like, people usually have to, like, apply 1,000 times to get recognized by you guys. And she's like, yeah, well, it's a rivals thing, and we picked this dude, and he says that you're his rival. And I was like, well, who the fuck is this? And she's like, his name's Aaron Is. And I was like, what the fuck did I ever do to this dipshit? Like, I haven't talked to him in like 10 years or right. something.
So, rival my ass.
Right. And I'm like going through my mind, and I'm like, did I piss him off? Did I shit his Wheaties? What did I do? You know, so got off the phone with her, and I texted him, and I just texted WTF. And thank God it was still the number, because that would have been weird. But he just sent back LOL, and then he called me, and he's like, you know, here's the thing. They want rivals, and they wanted a woman, and I gave them two names, and the one girl didn't want to do it. So you were the other name. So, yeah.
And history was made.
And that's how that happened.
What was it like your first day on set? Were you pretty amazed by it? How did it feel?
I was so nervous, like gut-wrenching nervous. I shook like a leaf the entire time. And like being on top of them stupid heels and in that fucking stupid corset, like, oh, I wanted to die.
I think that helped your, your character kind of, right?
I mean, I'm sure.
You're kind of like Robert De Niro here, you know, getting really into your role. Like suffering for the craft.
Super meta, bro. Super meta. Yeah.
So you're not into corsets too often nowadays?
Oh, God. No, I wear them to Ren Faire, and that's about it.
Was that one of the first? Were those your corsets, or do they buy those outfits?
No, them cheap fuckers. Those were all mine. They didn't supply a single corset.
But it wasn't something you wore? Did they ask you to wear them?
They because they come at you and they're like, oh, this is the look that we want, so if you have any corsets or silky tops or leopard print or red, and you know,
and so you didn't realize you could have worked them.
Yeah, no idea, dude.
You could have got some wardrobe.
I yes ma'am the fuck out of those people. Like, for what about, so
did you ever get anything from them? No dresses, no corsets.
I mean, I think they got me like a couple of tops and a pair of pants from H&M, and that was it.
Okay. Yeah. I know that some of the girls were finding ways to kind of, I mean, it wasn't manipulate, but it was manipulate.
Oh,
and to get, you know, clothing.
System. I know that for sure. The guys always had new shit, different shit. And they were going out, going to the gym and working out, going to Walmart, doing this, all this shit, eating out, and like, unless you specifically went with them to the gym, you didn't get to go anywhere. Like, I wanted to get my nails done. Super basic procedure, right? You walk into a nail salon, sit down, they do your leave. It took everything to convince them to let me do this. And I had to have like
were there no other girls that wanted to do that too?
Well, at that point, it was me, Taisha, and Squeaky Julia, and Caroline was already gone, and I don't really remember Squeaks being into getting her nails done. If memory serves me right, I don't think that they wanted Ty to, even if I wanted to go. So it was like basically just
So of course harder to mobilize. The less we can do for the Ink Mistress, the better she's going to respond. Am I wrong too? Or,
oh, dude, like, they knew how to push my buttons, how to stress me out. It was easy for them. I was a pushover. Literally anything that they wanted me to do, I was like, yeah, totally. Step on my fucking dick. No problem. Let's do this.
Do you wish you didn't? Do you wish you changed that?
I wish I would have stood up for myself a lot more to the people that actually mattered in conversations that actually mattered. But, you know, you can't like live
producers stand up to producers.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, some people on our season too, there were definitely instances where I just walked away instead of having a very loud conversation like I probably should have. So,
okay. I know Jimmy Litwack kind of helped a lot of the people, I think, on season three fight mm-hmm. against the idea that we had to give these producers anything. I know he did for me personally. I think he did for other guys. Yeah. On season four, it wasn't there. And so yeah. it was definitely a difference. And you see how if it wasn't for Jimmy, I think I would have, because I actually came to him. I was like, man, I just did my first, you know, interviews, and they kept on saying, you know, hey, say it like this. And it felt great. So nasty, because it wouldn't really be what I wanted to say, and it wouldn't really be what I meant or even what I felt. Yep. You know, but what I would say would be way too long-winded, and they're like, listen, never making it. We need to get it yep. shorter. How about you say, and then you say, and he said, Kyle, they can't make you.
Yeah.
And don't let them, you know, like, because if it's wrong, it's, you know why they're going to try and use it against you.
Yep.
And they did.
Yeah. Go into a whole thing and they'll be like, well, why were you pissed at that person? You'll be like, well, I wasn't even really that pissed, because like, it makes sense, because this and this and this and this. And they're like, no, just say because so-and-so was there and I didn't want to start.
Right.
And I'm like, what? That doesn't have anything to do with what I just explained. But they're like, yeah, but you should just say that. And I was like, okay.
And they do 100%. But you could say that, and then we would have this, and then I could go home.
Right.
And that's, and it's usually a young girl telling you this too. She's like 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got different aspirations. She's like, I want to be a director or something someday, or I'm just really looking for a man or something. You know, whatever she is, she's like not impressed by her work, it seems.
Yeah.
I think they did that purpose. Like, they hired people that got bored easily.
Yeah.
So that while they're listening, you know, they're like, okay, this is boring. I don't like it. All right. Let me say this. What if you just said, I hate this motherfucker, I want to stab him in the eye with a pencil?
Oh, dude, like, I had producers snap at me, like snap uh-huh. their fingers because I was being too long-winded about an explanation. I'm like, look, do you either want me to explain something or you don't? And then finally, you're just so tired of fucking talking about nonsense. The same question in 18 different directions, you know, that you're just like, what do you want me to say? What do you tell me?
You feel like what is that when they're coercing a confession, right? He's like, if I give you the answer, can I drink? Can I have some water?
What do they call it? Forced confession or whatever?
Coerced. Yeah. It feels very, you're like, you know, we got it. I was there. I remember one time for, I think, 8 hours.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My exit interview, was almost 12.
Oh my God. Your exit interview?
Well, like the whole, like, to catch up with all of the, they all call them interviews. I called them interrogations because that's what it fucking
It felt different, huh?
Far more accurate, I think. But yeah, my, just to catch up with all the episodes, that, you know, we were behind or whatever, cause you only reach a certain point. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then, well, one of the things I think that happens is especially if they know you're going to be there for a while, like, right. I think they kind of knew that I was going to be there because of my ability or whatever. And they didn't have any desire to push me out yet. Right. Yeah. They wanted to see me get angry. And so if they know, and you, they know you're going to want to be there. You're mm-hmm. you're driving, you know, you're part of the vehicle. You're the motor. And so they say, well, these guys are going fucking home. And the longer we have to put them in hotel rooms costs us money. I mean, they have to think about it like that, right? The longer we have to pay for their airfare, or if we were to have them come back, we would pay for airfare back. So it's best for us to get their interviews done quickly. And I was mm-hmm. always like, man, why are they doing the interviews with like some of the crappier contestants, you know? Like, why? And then, that makes sense. And then, well, I think I was 3 to 4 weeks before we did episode one. They're like, oh, okay, now we're at day one and you just met everybody. How do you feel? And you're like, dude, that was 3 fucking weeks ago. I know these people.
Yep.
Like,
it's wild.
Especially by then, because you have a harder time saying mean stuff about them.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Honestly, it was so easy for them to do to me, because they'd be like, say something shitty about Julia, and I'd be like, I love Squeaky. They'd be like, yeah, but you could be like, you know, she cute and all, but her work ain't all that. And I'm like, I wouldn't even say that in like a stretch of reality. Why? Like, because it first of all sounds insane, like some fucking 90s TV show, you know, like.
Right.
It just sounds.
And it doesn't make me look better. It makes me look like I'm pushing somebody down so I can look better, which means I have a fragile ego. That ain't what I'm trying to come off as.
Honestly, and then one time they got a, you know, because they're people watching on monitors in a far off room or whatever, and they get a message in and they're like, oh, well, you know, we need you to, you know, not make it so acting. We need it to be a little more real. I'm like, but you're feeding me this. Hey, what do you want me to do?
Then we need you to act like this is wow. Well, you deserve an Emmy then, really.
Evidently, because I got a whole bunch of people hook, line, and sinker on this shit.
Oh yeah, they thank you. I mean, at some point, if anybody like you, who do you know from Ink Masters? You guys get like actually, and you go through the list, and people are like, oh yeah, she was a bitch. yeah. Yep. What's she like in real life? Yeah, she's a fucking bitch. That's what I tell them.
People from my season, that whole first year that it was airing, every time I'd see them at a convention, they'd be like, dude, I am so fucking sick of explaining you to people. And I'd be like, I'm sorry? Like, what? They're like, everyone wants to know about you. Everyone wants to talk about you. They'll be like, oh, you're so-and-so. You're on season 5. What's Emily really like? Is she really a bitch? Tell me more. I'm sick of talking about you. I was like,
I'm glad that some people, though, got that through them. They obviously realized she couldn't be like, this isn't her. This is her in high heels.
You think that, but people are stupid, man. They want to live in that pretend reality so bad that at 2 a.m. yeah, they'll message me a death threat. That's how bad.
How does it matter that much to them? How does it matter that much about a TV show that you weren't a part of? I kind of get it. I really appreciate it on some parts because a lot of people do it on my behalf, or they imagine on my behalf for Nunez, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But now I think, too, they're just like, isn't it just what they want to do? Like, I made an impassioned plea at one point to say, hey, guys, on my behalf, no need to go after Nunez. And people were quick to tell me, hey, fuck you, Kyle, because we hated him before you. You know, I was like, oh, I get it. I'm just your ability there. Like, he has a picture of him. I kind of love this one, really. But it also it made me think this is pretty far. He's got a picture of his feet. Like at a pool at a resort or something like that, sitting by the beach or sitting by the edge of the pool. And it says, Kyle's going to jump out of that water and drag you in by the ankles.
I fucking love
it. Like 7 years later, his Instagram still has Kyle Dunbar threats.
I love it. I mean, I always tell people, you know, keep talking about me. You're still talking about me. It doesn't matter what you have to say. You are still talking about me. So I won. Mm-hmm. I'm successful. Yay.
I think that is something that people are, I don't know if they're all slow to realize. I don't know what it is to realize, but I know there's something there. If you, people say, I don't like when someone talks about me on my back. And I'm like, really? That's the best place, isn't it? Let's think about this. If you're in front of their face, you're obligated to do something.
Deal with consequences.
Yeah, you got to do something, and then you're gonna have to deal with the consequences. You might beat his ass, you might walk away. Is that gonna make you look stronger, weaker? Is he gonna look more righteous in what he said because you didn't go to the confrontation in some people's eyes? Or so if you're talking about me and I'm not in the room, then people, though, they're automatically looking suspect at that person, and all the accusations that they level at them, people begin to be like, you know, do I? They only jump on board if they are also a small-minded and desiring to hate that person. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a desire to dislike them, oh, yeah, I fucking always hated Kyle. So, yeah, I bet you're right about that. But other than that, you're doing me favors because I'm in the room. Yeah. I'm not even there. Yep. You know, there.
Yep. Like,
cool, I could sit this party out.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Making me popular. Jake Paul. You familiar with the kid?
No. Should I?
No. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Maybe not. His brother, Logan Paul, is the guy that found the dead guy in the suicide forest and made a big
Okay.
And now the two of them are engaged. They're boxers of some sort. Professional, I believe. They are sanctioned now. And they're making millions of dollars because people hate them.
Yeah. It's a hell of a living, but it's a living.
100% at the same time as people hate them. There's some people that love them because those people want to also be hated almost. And then there's people like me that just really, really respect them because you're like, you found a way to take something that people were freely generating for you that was a negative and turn it into a positive for you, your life, your family members. That's kind of awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, perfect example, like Ursula and Maleficent merchandise sells just as much as Ariel and Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. You know what I mean? Like the villain sells just as much as the lead role does. Because again, without a villain, there's no fucking story. Nobody's going to watch it. I had somebody tell me, they're like, oh, I wish there wasn't so much drama on Ink Master. I'd probably watch more of it. I said, if there was no drama on Ink Master, you'd be watching a documentary and you'd be asleep because tattooing is fucking boring to watch.
I feel like yes and no. I don't. Maybe it's just right. There was a show called Epic Ink. Do you remember this?
No, maybe.
It was fucking awesome. It was just these nerds, tattoo artist nerds, who like to do cool tattoos around genre-inspired nerddom like stuff, right? And they were talented kids, and they were funny, and there was no drama really. And it lasted one season.
Yeah.
And I loved it, but it's just like for me, you know, I mean, what I realized is there is not a majority of me, you know, people, not enough to make it interesting. It wasn't that it wasn't good. And it wasn't that it isn't worth watching. Cause I think even if you go back, if people were to find that show Epic Ink, they would probably watch it and really enjoy it. But it's like a cult classic now because it's not just, not every soccer mom in the world is like, I can't wait to see that. Those judges just tear into them. I just like that. I had a girl tell me that. She was like, I just love, I don't have any tattoos. And I'm like, oh, cool. I already like you so much. You sound like my kind of people. She's like, now I don't have any tattoos, but I just love when those judges, when like an artist just be like, I did this because of that. And it seems like they're so cocky. And then the judges just fuck you. They shut right on them. I'm like, yeah, I kind of hate you right now. It's hard not to show my disdain for you as a human being, because what you're talking about is something that I was emotionally scarred by. Yep. I'm a weaker individual for the names that you're talking about, the thing that you're doing, it's still happening inside of my head on every tattoo I do. It's sometimes just, it could be how I'm wiping my ass. Like, I don't know if I would have used more black in that toilet paper, man. Yeah. That's not enough blood in that.
Yeah, true. When people walk by and they like quote Dave like 10 more minutes, please
love it.
Put your means down, dude. It literally it used to piss me off.
But no offense to anybody that says it. A lot of people still say it to me, but it is like the stupidest and the least. It is scraping the bottom of the barrel so much,
right? Just,
and not now, not anymore. Now that we said that, actually, it's become a higher level of it, but still fuck you when you come up to do it to us.
Fuck you.
And now we can't differentiate you that know that this is like the higher level of fucking with us. And you're like, nah, I'm fucking with you. And and the people who are just like, they can't think of something more unique to say.
Yeah, creativity 0 out of 10 on that one. So,
what is it like when somebody has a name or something like, you know, like Michael Bolton? They're like, oh yeah, you're a singer. Yeah, that's, I never heard that one before. That's cool.
Right. Oh, it's so true. It's just cringy, fucking cringy. Knock it off, fuckers.
Unfortunately, it's going to happen more now. We're speaking that into existence somewhat. Manifestation's real. Did you feel you manifested anything in your life?
Definitely this moment.
Speaking this moment, what we're going to see it. Did you, a lot of people that I've had on the show feel as though that they've manifested their Ink Master experience in some fashion too.
Yeah.
Because they talked about getting on it.
I definitely feel that, not specifically Ink Master, but since I was like 4 years old, I told my parents that I was going to be on TV. As people would ask me like what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I told them Vanna White. Like I was gonna be on TV, and I was gonna be
turning some letters.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Well, it was still a contest, wasn't it? Competition.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, it was. But you know, I mean, I've had that mantra in my head since I was a little kid. So I feel like my life has definitely propelled me towards that. But I think like a lot of people, like if you look at really anybody's life that, you know, you're willing to like really peer into, there is that in them where as a young person, they stumbled on something. And even if they kept it near and dear to their heart, it, you know, at some point resurfaces in their future, kind of like either propel off of it or be trodden upon by it. And I think that happens more often than we really like pay attention to. I think that gave me a lot of the fake confidence that I, you know, showed on that show, because I was fucking terrified like the entire time.
I was that's funny to find it.
Always nervous, always full of anxiety, like sick to my stomach. But I had to parade around like this fucking peacock. I don't know, like something inside of me just kind of like emulated any bullshit scenario I've ever seen on TV, and I just forced myself to be that person, to emulate that personality.
What about now? You think you're still destined to turn letters on Wheel of Fortune? What's in store for you entertainment-wise?
What a cush job to do that. Can I be the next Vanna White? Can I put that out there into the world, universe?
You just did.
That's what I want. That's what
I think you just got to say it, right? They tell me you got to say it more demanding. Jimmy, Jimmy, now!
Can you imagine my tattooed ass up there in a fucking big old blonde wig and a fucking evening gown? Turning letters.
Okay, now I can, yeah, absolutely.
I can do it. I'm goddamn Vanna White. Now I need a Vanna White tattoo. What the fuck, Kyle? When are you gonna put it on me?
Oh no, man. I'm scared to do a Vanna White. I'm gonna make her look evil.
We'll make her cartoony, goofy.
I every time I'm doing girls right now, I'm really putting dark eyes on them.
Yeah.
I think they look cooler like that. I just keep, and I'm like, I bet I probably need to soften this up a lot. But I don't know, we'll see where it goes. But Vanna White looking evil wouldn't be a terrible thing. But is she going to be getting a cinder block smashed off of her chest, or is she turning numbers and letters?
I mean, why restrict her to just one? That she should be able to do it all. It's Vanna White.
It is Vanna. Is she still, she's probably still a part of Wheel of Fortune, if Pat Sajak is right.
Still it, both of them. It's wild.
Right on. I think I may have stayed too long. I haven't said too much. What do we see in the future? Is there anything that you want to plug, or is there anything you want to talk about how people can help you manifest good shit in your life?
Well, you know, they can follow me online. You can always find me on Instagram at Emily Allegato. I started doing TikTok, so that's fun and weird.
What are you doing? Dancing? You doing little dances?
I am not a dancer. No, my latest video, I found a baby possum in my yard. So you should all go. It's really fucking cute.
What's the handle for your TikTok?
It's at Emily Allegato.
Same.
I think there might be a number after it, but whatever. You'll find it.
Work at it.
Yeah. Some really cool things I do want to plug really quick is the Live Free or Die show out in New Hampshire that is in July. I get to host and MC it.
Oh, exciting.
Right?
We're talking about Vanna White and all this shit. You don't even bring that. Like, actually, Kyle, a little step above it. I'm kind of Pat Sajak and Vanna White together. You didn't don't want to drop that in timely manner. All right. Okay. Live Free or Die. You said New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big show. Super. Am I wrong? This is a show I've heard of.
Yeah. It's a really good show. Been around for a long time too. So
are you going to find time to tattoo at the show?
No, I'm only going to be emceeing and hosting it.
Oh, it should be fun though. Don't you think it'll be fun? I mean, obviously it's going to be fun. You wouldn't have took it if you didn't.
Well, I used to do a lot of fundraisers back in the day. Out when I lived and worked out in Panama City, Florida, we used to raise money for American Red Cross, and okay. we would put on these homegrown shows where, you know, we'd raffle off a tattoo or something, a couple of tattoos, and then there'd be a bunch of bands, and you know, the audience would vote on the bands and all this other horse shit, and I would host them. So I don't know
if you would emcee those.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've ever been to Panama City, but there's like these a couple of super clubs out there, Spinnaker and La Vila. And
Spinnaker has
a massive outdoor stage, and they put me out in the middle of it and hand me a microphone and just let me go off. And it was really successful and it was really fun. And so I'm pretty stoked about doing this. I'm not a shy person, obviously. So putting a microphone in my hand isn't going to make me not talk.
So. Right. You're a bit of a ham. That's again part of I think the Ink Master casting magic.
Yeah.
Like really, there is very few Ink Masters that like I'm ever like, man, this guy's boring.
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. And this is obvious that, yeah, you can probably give them all a microphone. Obviously, you're not scared of a microphone. No. Emily, it's been a blast. Look forward to seeing you again whenever we do, and many times that we will. And people, please comment because we're reading them, and we'll have questions that I didn't ask, and we can have Emily back on. She can answer. And if you got some hate for her, start a little. I mean, it's something. You're a troll anyway, so enjoy it. Now you're a popular troll for a day because you said a mean word. Anyways, we'll talk to you soon, hon.
All right, sounds good.
We'll take care. You love you, hon. We'll see you again.
All right, you guys too. Thanks so much.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.